Eddie Grant was surprised at how well her life had turned out, especially given what an eccentric family she'd come from. Here she was, 28 years old, living in Manhattan and making a six-figure salary as a personal assistant to the famous and beloved romance writer Dinah Lavender. Eddie got to travel with Dinah, eat at posh restaurants with Dinah, wear fabulous clothes, and meet fascinating people. And the work she was paid for? She made reservations at restaurants, booked airline tickets, chose between USPS and FedEx when mailing off Dinah's giveaways, and fixed Dinah's computer when it confused her, which usually involved little more than turning it off and back on. She knew how to hem a dress in a pinch, help correctly sign documents, post photos on social media, answer Dinah's hundreds of emails, and keep her shelves of books, the ones Dinah had written, over 100 and growing, in order. Eddie had created a list of essential phone numbers for Dinah: her editor, her agent, her publicist, her stylist, her therapist, Luigi's Fine Liquors, and Big Tony's Pizza. She'd added them to all three of Dinah's cell phones, so that all Dinah had to do was push a button. She'd consoled her when a character in one of her books died, and only once had she reminded Dinah that Dinah was the one who decided his fate. Dinah worked hard, tapping away at her computer, pacing the floor at night, talking to herself about what her heroine should do next, weeping in a perfumed bubble bath because she didn't like her newest book's cover. When Eddie first applied for the job of personal assistant, Dinah had stipulated that Eddie live with Dinah, because the writer often worked night and day. Dinah lived in a handsome apartment on Park Avenue. She had people who cleaned and cooked for her, but they didn't live in. She had friends to dine out and go to the theater with, and she received loving letters and emails from readers around the country, but she didn't seem to have anyone special in her life. Eddie had her own gorgeous bedroom and ensuite bath. When Dinah had appointments or lunches or dinners, Eddie had free time to visit the Met or the Guggenheim, to see a movie or go out with friends, but she would often simply lie in bed reading. She had a walk-in closet filled with silk, cashmere, Hermes, Ralph Lauren, and Kate Spade. True, many of her clothes had been bought by Dinah for Dinah, but she'd tossed them to Eddie before even wearing them. The two women were more or less the same size, although Dinah's figure was substantially more hourglass. Dinah was in her 40s, and Eddie wondered why the writer had never married. Maybe, Eddie thought, just maybe, Dinah, like Eddie, had fallen in love with a man who wanted more than she could give. Maybe Dinah was traveling all over the world and writing 3 books a year, so she didn't have time to think about the love that might have been. The love that might have been. Now there was a Dinah Lavender title. But Eddie had promised herself not to think of Jeff. Instead, Eddie thought about her sister Barrett, who wanted Eddie to come home to Nantucket for a few weeks. And Eddie wanted to go. So much. First of all, Barrett was finally going to launch her shop, Nantucket Blues, on Memorial Day. It was a huge, exciting undertaking for Barrett. The summer residents would be flocking to the island, and so would the tourists. It would be an enormous help to Barrett if Eddie was around to assist by simply being there. Moral support, Eddie supposed it was called. They'd always been there for each other. Eddie could also help with their father, a handsome intellectual man who had been so weakened by sorrow that he'd escaped to a farmhouse on Nantucket, brought his daughters with him, and hid himself away writing a book Eddie wasn't sure he would ever finish. Also, Eddie hadn't had an actual vacation in 2 years.